experience this morning. And as a church, we have been interceding and fasting and praying for God to break through. And traditionally, if you look back through the moves of God over the centuries, it's when the heart of men and fathers capture the Spirit of God and what he's saying and walk in that, that's when the Spirit breaks through. So even though Ray apologized, I'm going to rescind his apology, because if you guys have questions and if you're uncomfortable, we're here as an elder team to talk through when it gets weird sometimes, because it will. As we walk in the Spirit and as we walk in his presence, it's going to get weird and it's going to get uncomfortable, because the flesh has to die in order for the Spirit to arrive. Amen? So that's what happened this morning. I was weeping up here to see the men of this church gather in unity around one another in all walks of life. And so that's what it is. Let's give the Lord a hand for that. So I just want to address that. We're going here, guys. If you don't want to go with us, this might not be the place for you. But I am telling you now that Jesus is calling you to do this with us. You are here for a reason. You are part of this family. And we want to walk with you in the presence of God. Because where he shows up, there's freedom. And when there's stuff like this happens, the flags, we shout a little bit too loud, we worship a little too crazy, there's something that comes up inside of you. That means, hey, I need a little bit of my flesh to die today. And Jesus is saying, hey, if you give this to me, I will pour out my blessings upon you. So that's what happened this morning, and we're going here. And I wanna invite you guys from the elder board to say, partner with us in prayer, that we're calling this forth in our families at home, as well as our family here at church. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Rory. So today we're finishing up, what do we call it? Foundations of our faith, like the fundamentals of our faith. Kind of what are the baselines as you walk in believing in Christ and give your life over and become a disciple. We've talked about worship and prophecy and inner healing and deliverance, a whole quarter, 3 months or so of this teaching. And so we're finishing it up with this call from God as evangelism, of going and preaching the good news. Next week, we've got the Mexico City or Mexico outreach team, missions team. They'll be back and they'll be giving testimony and sharing. And then the following week, we're going to start a new series on identity. Like, who is Christ and who am I in Christ? Right? Because I think it's important that we continue to delve into understanding his character and nature and who he's created us to be in his likeness and his image, and what that authority has been given to us to walk out what he's called us to do here on earth. And so today we're going to, when you hear the word evangelism, or if it comes to mind, like what do you think about? Street preaching. What else? Sharing the word. How many of you think, well, that's not for me because I'm not an evangelist? And there's a few honest people in here at least. We were even having that discussion in there. Someone's like, you're an evangelist, and you're an evangelist because you were in this ministry. And the other one's like, no, I'm the evangelist. He's the pastor. And I'm like, so we tend to identify ourselves with the gifts that are given. And the gifts are just like the tools. And maybe like we lean into these different giftings for that. But I have another question for you. How many of you would consider yourself a disciple? There's a few of us, at least. Right? And so when we think about evangelism, and it literally means, in the Greek, it means good news. And the verb side of it, I'm not even going to try to announce it, means to proclaim the good news or to evangelize, to share the good news. And as Jesus was finishing up his time on earth this time around, He makes this declaration in Matthew 28, 18 through 20. And we all understand that as being the Great Commission, right? And he wasn't talking to the evangelists. He wasn't talking to just the preachers. He was talking to his disciples. And so therefore, this is his commission to us, his church, to believers, disciples of Jesus. He says, Jesus came and told his disciples, I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you. And be sure of this, I am with you always and even to the end of the age. So I love that when Jesus talks to us about going and proclaiming the good news and making disciples and teaching them everything that his disciples were taught or everything that we've been taught, his promise is, I will be with you wherever you go. I know that's one of the things that we look in as we think about street preaching or sharing the gospel with someone. We might be like, we get timid because we have this wall up that says, what are they going to think about me? How are they going to feel about me? What are they going to say if they know I'm a believer and I'm out here preaching the good news? But I believe that the Lord wants to break down all these different walls and pretexts that we put up that don't give us that freedom to share the gospel. So today I'm going to explore a core practice of our faith, sharing the good news. It's not just an option for a select few, but a divine mandate and privilege for every believer. So let's look at defining evangelism, explore its biblical foundations, and discover various methods, address some common challenges, and most importantly, understand how our evangelistic efforts are vital for seeing the kingdom of God now and for hastening the glorious return of Christ. Because I think that's another portion that's understanding is when we share the gospel, when we share the good news, it's proclaiming his kingdom here on earth now and inviting people into the experience, the kingdom of God on earth today, but also hastening the return of Christ. So at the heart of evangelism is the proclamation of the gospel of Christ. It is the core message, Christ's death for our sins, his burial, and his resurrection. In 1 Corinthians 15, 3-4, I turned too soon. I passed on to you what was most important and what had also been passed on to me. Christ died for our sins, just as the scripture said. And he was buried and he was raised from the dead on the third day, just as the scripture said. So this is, Christ is God's provision for our salvation. And so when we have that in understanding and that in the mind, that's the key principle, that's the core message of what we're saying, is that it was Christ's life on earth, his birth, his life, his death, his resurrection, his ascension to the right hand of the Father, interceding on our behalf so that we would have the courage and power to go out and preach boldly, could declare boldly his good news. So what is our aim in evangelism? Evangelism's aim is to persuade or to invite individuals to believe in Jesus as our Lord and Savior and to dedicate their lives to his service. It's not a manipulation. It's not turn or burn. If you don't accept Christ now, you're going to go to hell. It's that invitation into the kingdom to know God, to know who we are, and to begin to live in the freedom that he has for each and every one of us. If we lead out with, you better accept Christ or you're going to hell, all we're doing is proclaiming fear over them. And God does not want that fear to be interjected into people's minds. He doesn't want us to accept Christ he doesn't want us to accept him as our Savior out of fear of going to hell, but out of that relationship, out of understanding the love of God, right? What's John 3:16? For God so loved the world that he sent his son? Not that he was so angry with the world and pissed off that he's going to come and get you, No, it's out of an invitation of love. It's got to be heartfelt, and the Holy Spirit empowers us to appeal this truth and this proclamation in his love. So where do we see it? Is it just in the New Testament? I believe there's a little bit of a foreshadowing in the Old Testament in Isaiah 52, verse 7. This is God's desire for all nations to know him. And I think of, like, when you think of just different stories and different battles in the Old Testament, when people would get afraid of wanting to come to battle against Israel, or they would see that they would march around the wall like Jericho and go seven times and, you know, all those days, and then greet or like yell and worship, and the walls fall down. That was a way of proclaiming the good news that God is with Israel. God is with this nation. But in Isaiah 52:7, it says, "How beautiful on the mountains are the feet of those who bring good news, who announce peace and bring good news of salvation, who say to Zion, 'Your God reigns.'" So it's a beautiful thing to go out and preach the good news. Yet our culture and society have made it into like this taboo thing to do. Oh, it's the weird Christians. It's the weird evangelists. It's the weird, like, what are they saying? Why can't they just keep to themselves? But God wants to remind us that it's beautiful for us to stand up and proclaim the good news, the peace of Christ, and his salvation. In Jesus' ministries, we see himself, that he preached the good news of the kingdom of God. In Luke 4:43, he says, "But he replied, 'I must preach the good news of the kingdom of God in other towns too, because that is why I was sent.'" Jesus, God, who came to this earth, gave us that example of going and preaching the good news of his kingdom to come. In the early church, we see that they preached the word constantly. In Acts 5:42, it says, "And each day in the temple and from house to house, they continued to teach and preach the good news. The Messiah is Jesus." And later in 8:4, it says, "But the believers who had been scattered preached the good news about Jesus some places." No, wherever they went. So the early church is like everywhere they're going. And we see, like, we get excited because, like, we see, you know, the Acts 2 church, they were gathering together every day and they were breaking bread and they were teaching what they were taught. They were preaching the good news, and daily people were added to them. And we get excited about that. And we look around and we're like, why are we not getting daily added to us? Like, why are we not inviting people daily to enter into fellowship with the Lord with us? We have to step out in boldness wherever we're going. Now we have to use the sermon of the Holy Spirit, and he will show us and speak to us how to share the gospel, when to share the gospel. I remember one time in Mexico City, Michelle was 8 months pregnant with Liam. And across from our apartment, there was a brothel. And we were walking by with another guy one day who was there visiting, teaching. And we all looked at each other. And we felt like the Lord was telling us to go inside this brothel. And it's not like girls are dancing and stripping and stuff. But you go in there and they offer you drinks and they make so much money off of that. But then if, you know, somebody wanted something more, there's a back room, you could do that. And God highlighted this girl to us as we sat there, and we invited her to come and sit with us. And we made sure that, you know, she was making the money that she needed to for that her time there. And we got her number, and we started reaching out to her. And often, at least up once a week, before she went to that back to work there, she met us at a coffee shop, and we began to disciple her. We began to share the gospel with her. She eventually became the main leader, the main leader of a ministry making jewelry for girls who had been rescued out of human trafficking. But it was in that moment that we walked in, and we were like walking by, and never again did we have the conviction from the Lord to go into a brothel. Never again did I walk by there and think, "Hey, it's probably a good idea to go in there and share the gospel again. That'd have been stupid, right? But together with my wife, with another gentleman, we went in there together with the word of the Lord, shared the good news with this lady. It took her a while to get out of that. And that's the other thing that we lose in our context of our mind. If we share the gospel and somebody accepts it, and if they don't just change their ways right away, we're like, they're not saved. They're sinners. Look at them. They're still in that. But yet some of us, we don't understand what they're trapped in, so that they don't understand that they actually have the freedom to come out. We don't understand always the context of why somebody is living in the situation that they're living in. But that's why God said, make disciples. Do follow up. And so we did. We met with her often. And she eventually came out of that, got her family reestablished, and became a great part of discipling other women coming out of trafficking as well. So it's important that we understand that Christ is with us, that his spirit leads us and guides us. In Ephesians 4:11, it says, now these are the gifts Christ gave to the church, the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and teachers. He identifies evangelists as the gift to the church, equipping us all. This isn't something that's just set aside for certain individuals. There are people like my wife who will go crazy with evangelism. I mean, she gets fired up. She wants to share the gospel. She would go anywhere, anytime that the Lord is calling her to go. And it doesn't matter if there's 13 people telling her, no, I don't think we should do that. No, we better not do that. If she has that conviction, she's going to go. Now, sometimes I wished I had that same fire in me to do it, because it takes me a little bit more to like, okay, God's saying this, I'm going to step out and say something, right? But she'll be like, no way, I don't care what they think. I'm going to share Jesus with them because they need to know Jesus, because he transformed my life, and they deserve to hear receive that same transformation. So where does evangelism come out of? What are we sharing when we share the kingdom of God? As it's not, like I said earlier, it's not the turn and burn. It's not out of fear, but it has to flow from God's character. It has to flow from his nature. And so that's why, as kingdom people, we gather in love and we equip in truth so if we can go and preach the good news, right? That's our vision here. And that's our mission, is like, we're going to go out, we're going to preach the good news, we're going to come back in, we're going to gather, we're going to get equipped more in his truth and his understanding of his character and his nature, and that's what we're going to go out and do. So evangelism is always rooted in God's loving and merciful nature. He desires that all people are saved and come to the knowledge of his truth. In 1 Timothy 2:4, it says, this is good and pleases God, our Savior, who wants everyone to be saved and to understand the truth. Because the truth will set you free. We all are still walking in a process of freedom. We are all fall short of the glory of God. But every day that we seek to go after him and understand his truth, it means that we are that much closer to understanding his character and his nature, and we're that much more equipped to go out and share the gospel. I don't know if Thomas is still here, but I love Thomas. Thomas preaches. I mean, he was standing up here with us praying and declaring God's truth. And that was the Spirit of God speaking through him. Because he wasn't speaking anything contrary to the gospel, to the Bible of what God was, who God has created us to be and what he's creating us to do. And I have an affinity to homeless people when it comes to this, because it was actually a homeless person that shared the gospel with me 21 years ago. Came into the hotel that I was working at. I'm thinking I'm offering him everything because I'm giving him a room and a meal for the night. And I sit down in the lobby. He stunk to high heaven still. I gave him an hour. I thought he was going to shower, but he didn't. And I sat there and I bared that smell. And I'm just so proud of myself because I'm giving him a warm place to sleep and a meal. And he starts sharing about this Jesus feller. And there in the lobby of the hotel, I'm weeping. accepting Christ as my Lord and Savior. Because he had the boldness to come in and share the gospel with me. So I think that's another thing that we have to transform our mind. Is like we can't judge people by what they look like. They may be in a closer relationship with the Lord than we are. We need to stop and listen. God, what are you speaking? What are you saying? Is he displaying your character and your nature in any way? As we looked at the Great Commission as our foundational command, it's Jesus' explicit command to us, go therefore and make disciples of all nations. It's about seeing the kingdom of God now. When someone accepts Christ, they are delivered from the domain of darkness and transferred into the kingdom of his beloved Son. Colossians 1:13 says, for he has rescued us from the kingdom of darkness and now has transformed us into the... Oh, I just read that, didn't I? Into the kingdom of his dear Son. We needed to hear it twice, I guess. Evangelism is the primary way God's kingdom expands now on earth. Every salvation, every time someone repents and turns to Jesus, asks the Lord to be their Savior, their Lord and Savior, it's a testimony to God's reign breaking into the present reality. It transforms individual lives, families, and ultimately, through transformed people, impacts communities and nations. Guys, when we are sharing the gospel, we are actively bringing heaven's influence to bear on earth today. We're actively giving God permission to influence our kingdom here, or the earth here and now. As we get, sometimes we get scared because we think of like laws that are being passed in different states. Like right now, there's all kinds of stuff in Colorado being passed with, especially against families and being able to share the gospel with your kids and all, you know, and their twisted ways of thinking. But if we flee from here and just give them free rein, then we're losing the battle. We're not doing our job of expanding the kingdom of God here on earth today. And there's got to be an urgency about us. In Romans 10, it says, but how can they call on him to save them unless they believe in him? And how can they believe in him if they have never heard about him? And how can they hear about him unless someone tells them? This highlights the critical role of the messenger, of you and I. We want them to hear. We want people to get saved. We think about how great that would be, how good of a testimony it would be. But if they don't believe in him because we don't step out and share with them, we need to have this urgency to go after them, to push forth into what God has. So how do we do it? How do we evangelize? Let's look at some different methods and look at the future hope of evangelism. So there's different ways to do it. One of the first ways Rory pointed out right at the beginning is direct proclamation, preaching on the streets, right? As Peter did at Pentecost, it brings personal confrontation with an individual or with a group of people by sharing the gospel of Christ. So that's just going out, meeting 1 o'clock on Saturdays at Jesus Cafe and going out and preaching the good news. There's the intellectual and apologetic. It's reasoning, defending the faith. We see Paul do this in Athens, and as he's encountering different people's backgrounds, he's reasoning with them. He's showing them, like, no, these are the facts. This is who Christ is. This is who God really is, and this is what his word means and does. Through testimonies, sharing your personal stories. In John 9:25, he says, he replied, I don't know whether he is a sinner, but I do know this. I was blind and now I can see. Right? The blind man, the Pharisees are asking him, like, who is this guy? Who healed you? He said, I don't know. I don't know if it's a sinner, but I know this. I was blind and now I can see. And so whenever you approach somebody and you're talking to them and you're just having a general conversation maybe, and all of a sudden you're, you, you you're reminded of a story that maybe is similar to something they're walking through or they're going through. And you have a testimony of what Christ done in your life in that situation. Then you share that. That brings hope and that opens a door for you to preach the gospel even more. Because you're saying, it's not just because I read it in the Bible. It's not just because I heard it somebody preach. But I've experienced the goodness of God, the goodness of his kingdom, the power of his truth in my own life. And this is the situation that happened, right? Each of us have a testimony. If we're sitting in here and we've accepted Christ, we have that testimony that's, you know, this is when I accepted Christ, right? Like I just told you guys briefly how I accepted Christ. But we should have testimonies daily, weekly, monthly. Are we experiencing the kingdom of God? Are we searching after him in such a way that tomorrow I'm talking to somebody and I don't have to tell them a story from 50 years ago? Or do I have a story that I can tell them, hey guys, actually this week, this happened to me. I know I don't always have those. I want to have those. I always like to give that challenge, like, we need to have testimonies from this week. And I don't always have them. Because I'm not always searching like I should. So it's a challenge for all of us to pick this up and go after it. Some cultures relationally, especially in closed nations, that's the one of the biggest ways to do it, is just relationally building relationship, walking with people when you have that time to walk with people. Just as we saw Jesus eats with sinners, he goes into their house, he spends time with them, he builds that relationship with them to share the good news with them. Not, he doesn't shun them. He doesn't just push them away. He doesn't, I can't relate with you until, you know, you believe in me. But he goes to where they're at. And he builds that relationship with him. Invitational. Invite them to church. Invite them to a special day at the park or an event that a church is doing or a concert. You can invite people into, like, understand a little bit more about who God is just through those invitations. Service and deed-based. Demonstrating love through action. We call that mercy ministries, like building a house for someone or a feeding center or going and cutting somebody's lawn for them and just serving out of an act of love, not expecting anything else. And when they ask, why would you do this? We say, well, because God put you on my heart to serve you in this way because he sees you, he loves you, and he wants to invite you into a personal relationship. And guys, we do this being empowered by the Holy Spirit. We never evangelize in our own strength, but in Acts 1:8 says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses. Telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, throughout Judea and Samaria, to the ends of the earth. It's the Holy Spirit that convicts, that draws, and empowers our words. Such a relief, right? I don't actually have to know what I'm doing. I don't have to go to a big evangelism class. Right? You see the woman at the well, Jesus is like, you know, he talks with her, he tells her story, what's going on. She believes in him, and what she do? She goes back to her village and she begins to preach the good news. She begins to proclaim, you've got to meet this guy. He knew everything about me. He truly is the Savior, right? We don't have to have these big, long conferences to be equipped to share the gospel. We just have to recognize, what has he done in my life? Who is this truth? And the power of his Holy Spirit is what just gives us that strength to empower our words to be able to speak out. And then there's the hope of the future, hastening Christ's return. In Matthew 24:14, he said, and the good news about the kingdom will be preached throughout the whole world so that all nations will hear it, and then the end will come. Our evangelistic efforts are not just about saving souls today, but are intrinsically linked to the culmination of God's redemptive plan. We get to actively participate in the redemption plan of Christ because we've experienced that redemptive power in our own lives. God, we're partnering with God. We always try to guess, when's Jesus coming back? When's God coming back? And he's over there championing us. Share the gospel, share the gospel, share the gospel. Share my love. Invite people into my kingdom. Invite them to experience my kingdom here on earth now, not just when I come back. Every time the gospel is shared and received, we are actively participating in the fulfillment of prophecy and preparing the way for God, for our King's return. We are partnering with God to bring his perfect, completed kingdom to earth. Guys, there's challenges that we face in doing this. The fear of rejection, of shame, not knowing enough, apathy. We just lose urgency to see the lost come to know him. And that's probably one of the biggest things that we're facing in probably America today, and a lot of other nations in the world, but these first world nations like our own, we've become apathetic about it. We've lost this urgency of sharing Christ with others. We think, oh, this is claimed to be a Christian nation. They know. I don't have to say anything. You know there's people in this county that have never heard the message of Christ before? And they need to hear it. And who's going to tell them? Stan and Michelle? They're going to cover it all? We all get to participate in this. There's culture resistance. These are all real struggles, but we have to remember that God equips us. We have to remember to the Great Commission, how did he finish it off? And I will be with you wherever you go. I will be with you wherever you go. So let's move forward in this, in faith. Let's pray, because it's God's work, and we labor in prayer, but we also have to be activated to go out and share the good news. Let's continue to understand and gain knowledge of the gospel and who God is, his character, his nature. Why is it important to him? We depend on the Holy Spirit, him giving us boldness and wisdom, and simply start. Often sharing is simpler than we make it. We build up something in our, at least I do. I'm like, well, maybe they already know, or I don't know. I just can't have the words. I'm shy. I don't want to talk to people. I like to talk at people, but not to people. That's not always true, guys. Sometimes I talk to people. Healthy churches are evangelistic churches. Because it's not just about meeting here together on a Sunday morning for ourselves. It's about being empowered, being equipped in truth, and going out and sharing the good news. Understand your audience. Give context to the message without compromising it, but share the good news. So I'm going to invite Bethany up. I'm going to invite Michelle up. Guys, it's a privilege. In 2 Corinthians 5:20, it says, so we are Christ's ambassadors. God is making his appeal through us. We speak for Christ when we plead, come back to God, chosen to carry this life-transforming message. So I'm going to ask you this morning to pray and ask God to give you a heart for the lost, to show you who he wants you to speak up to, that you would continue to be prepared in his message. And not forget the promise that he is with us, even to the ends of the earth, wherever we go. Teach these new disciples to obey all my commands. I am with you always. I am with you always. He doesn't send us out alone. Michelle's going to lead us into a time of ministry. So we go ahead and invite our ministry team up here this morning. You guys can stand.
You guys give Chris a clap. I think he did pretty good. For not being a teacher, he's a preacher. He's not a teacher, if you haven't noticed. He teaches a lot, but he's not a teacher. Gosh. When God asked me to come to Pagosa, January 2020, before I knew about COVID, I had told him my whole life, wherever you want me to go, I'll go. Like, I wanted to die in the Middle East. Like, that's my dream. I still dream about it. But he said, to this small mountain town in Colorado, I said, no. No, why? I mean, these people already know you. America? No. But I am here, and I'm going to do one of my most favorite things to do, because God created me to do this. But I think he also created all of us to do this out of obedience, not in our own strength, because we're cool and we have the best words, but just because we got to receive the greatest love ever. Someone, the creator of the heavens and the earth, the Almighty God, the one that made the mountains and the seas, decided to leave his throne and become this human. And he was born, and he was born not in the best room, and he lived a life of suffering. And he died in a cross. And he died in that cross to pay a price that we get to enjoy. So how can we not tell the people that Jesus loves you? That Jesus gave his life for you in that cross? And there is something called sin, right? We say this with the little kids. I've done this prayer so many times. My grandma was our children's director. I was little. I was like Melody's age. And I was so annoyed because every single Sunday I did the salvation prayer. I was like, Grandma, I already have Jesus in my heart. Stop it. Man, I'm so thankful for my grandma. She's 87. I'm so thankful, and every single day I just want to do this prayer. I just want to tell Jesus, be my God, be my Lord, every single day until my last breath. I want to commit to you completely. It's never enough. I'm not annoyed to recognize what you did for me on the cross. So I just want to invite all of you, just put your hand in your heart and repeat after me. Maybe this is your 100th time receiving Jesus as your Savior. Or maybe you have never heard about this. Anyways, this is the best thing you could do. It's just a door. It's just a door. And after this door, man, your life changes. And the King of Glory comes in a white horse, and it gets really epic. But this is just the door. He said, I am at the door. I'm knocking. And I want Jesus in my heart every single day. So repeat after me, Jesus, I need you. I repent for my sin. Cleanse my heart. Make me pure by your blood. I declare that you died on the cross. You resurrected from the dead. You are my Lord and Savior. You are my God, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. Just tell him in your own words how you feel. Like, if you don't know him, say, I want to know you. If you know him a lot, say, I want to know you more. Whatever, Holy Spirit, you're welcome here. have your way in our lives. Jesus, you're so worthy. You're so worthy to be praised. You are the Alpha and the Omega, Lord. We praise you, Jesus. Now, I want all of you that had never done this prayer before, if there has been anybody that had never said this, or you feel like you're recommitting because you were like, man, I don't even remember when I did this, please come with our ministry team and just share with them your journey. I'm going to do two invitations. One is that one. If you're recommitting and you're like, I want Jesus to be my Lord in a new level today. The other one is for those that have been frustrated with the church about, or frustrated with yourself about not obeying, or that you feel like, man, I really want to share about Jesus with my friends, but I feel so dumb. I just don't know how to do this. Like, or I'm afraid about what they're going to think about me. I just feel so in a private. I can't do it really well. Or you've been judged, or you had a bad experience or a trauma from that. So if that's you, please come on in. We also want to pray for you. Our ministry team is awesome, and they can pray for you. Now, the last thing I'm going to do is I'm going to do something that Mr. Jim Smith was talking about this morning when we had the pre-service prayer. He was talking about impartation. So impartation is when I give you something, like a gift. I have a gift. Everybody has a gift. Our greatest gift is Jesus. But then we have other gifts, right? And the gift to communicate the gospel should be given to everybody, because God would never ask us to do something that we cannot do. Like, we need the gift. I received this gift from my dad, and my dad got it from my grandpa, and my grandpa and my grandma got it from my great-grandma. And so I am giving to you something today that it has been given to me from generations. And if you want it, just open up your hands like this and just get ready to receive it, okay? Holy Spirit, it is from you. Father, it's from you. All good things come. So in your name, I just, for your church that you love so dearly, I just extend this gift to share the good news, to tell other people about what Jesus did. And I declare that there will be an exponential growth in faith, that fear will flee in your name, Jesus, that you will pass on hugs and words, and just everything that gives you glory. Thank you, Jesus, for what you're giving to your church this morning. Thank you for Pagosa Springs, that you have Pagosa Springs in your map, and you are giving this special gift for your church here today, and it will be used and it will be activated for your glory, Jesus. Amen.
Guys, our team's going to be up here for a little bit, so just encourage you, if you want prayer for anything, for healing, for more of this impartation, if you have anything that's burdening you that you shouldn't be or don't need to be carrying alone, we'd like to carry that with you. And as we stay up here, I'm just going to pray just to finish this time. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord smile upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord show you his favor and give you his peace. You have been deeply loved by our Father. Now go do the same. Have a great week of worship, guys.
For the Lamb has conquered, and I will follow him to the end of the earth. I will follow him. For the Lamb has conquered, I will follow him to the end of the earth. I will follow him. Jesus, you're worthy of every tribe and tongue. It's all for your glory till every soul is won. Jesus, you're worthy of every tribe and tongue. It's all for your